We were alone again, briefly, in the elevator. As we rode to the sixth floor, where the first session courtroom was, I reached for Lori's hand, my fingers scrabbling against hers to find a fit. My wife was a good deal shorter than I, so in order to hold her hand, I had to haul it up to the level of my hip. She was left with her elbow bent, as if she were checking her watch. A look of distaste crossed her face. Her eyelids fluttered, her lips tightened. It was barely perceptible, a micro-movement, but I noticed and released her hand. The elevator doors shivered as the box was lifted. Klein kept his eyes on the panel of ranked buttons, tactfully. When the doors rattled open, we marched through the crowded lobby to courtroom 6B, there to wait on the front center bench until our case was called. An awkward interval passed before the judge took the bench. We had been told our case would be called promptly at 10 so the court could deal with us and the circus of reporters and gawkers, then quickly get back to business. We arrived at the courtroom around quarter of. Time dragged while we waited. It felt like a lot more than 15 minutes. The crowds of lawyers, most of whom I knew well, stood back as if there were a magnetic field around us. Paul Duffy was there, standing against the far wall with LeJudas and a couple of the CPAC guys. Duffy, who was essentially an uncle to Jacob, glanced at me once as we sat down, then turned away. I was not offended. I did not feel shunned. There was an etiquette to these things, that's all. Duffy had to support the home team. That was his job. Maybe we would become friends again after Jacob was cleared. Maybe we wouldn't. For now, the friendship was suspended. No hard feelings, but that was the way it had to be. I know that Lori was not so bloodless about Duffy's snubs or anyone else's. To her, it was awful to see friendships snapped off this way. We were the same people after that we had been before, and because we had not changed, it was easy for her to forget that others saw us, all of us, not just Jacob, in a completely new way. At a minimum, Lori felt, people ought to see that whatever Jacob may have done, she and I were certainly innocent. It was a delusion I never shared. Courtroom 6B had an extra jury box to accommodate large jury pools, and that morning in the empty extra jury box, a TV camera was set up to provide a shared video feed to all the local stations. While we waited, the cameraman kept the lens pointed at us. We wore our defendant's blank masks, said nothing to each other, barely even blinked. It is not an easy thing to be watched for so long. I began to notice little things, as one does during extended downtimes. I studied my own hands, which were big and pale, with prominent scuffed knuckles. Not a lawyer's hands, I thought. Strange to see them appended to my own coat sleeves. That quarter hour of waiting and being stared at in the courtroom, a courtroom I once owned, a room as comfortable to me as my own kitchen, was even worse than what followed.